The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR 1460 AM and 96.5 FM. Today we're going to talk about riding the dragon. This is a show about learning how to face your fears. And riding the dragon is something that I've used in my own life often with things I need to face. And I've taught many, many people how to ride a dragon over the past 30 years in my psychotherapy practice in Northern California. Riding the dragon is about facing your fears and not running away from them. And there's a quote that I really like. The brave do not kill dragons. The brave learn to ride them. And that's so true, because sometimes figuring out what our fears are and then learning how to face those fears and ride it like a dragon so that you can master it is really, really important and extremely empowering in your life. And it's something you want to learn how to do for yourself and be able to teach your children. Because when you run away from the things that challenge you, it weakens you. When you turn around and face them and deal with it, it empowers you, and you like yourself better and you face your life better. And it's actually less stressful in the long run. I can hear some of you out there going, yeah, sure, less stressful, right? I'm going to give you some great coping tools for riding your dragons and hopefully inspiring you to actually sit down and face a few of them. So why should we ride a dragon? Why should we face our fears? What's the reason, the principle behind it? I want to teach you something pretty cool and pretty easy. It's what I call Earth School. And let's look at it from kind of a philosophical viewpoint. You can put it into any religious framework that you want, any religious framework. I'm putting it into kind of a generic spiritual framework here, but you can even be not spiritual, not religious at all, and still get the concept of this. So let's look at what Earth School is about. Let's say that before we drop into these containers, these bodies that we have here on Earth, we existed somewhere. My view of it is that I existed in heaven with God. I existed in a beautiful place of oneness. And that the entity that is now Patty, Dr. Patty, whatever, dropped down into this container. You can put it into anything else. You might believe in past lives. You might think you came from nowhere. You were just a sperm and an egg that joined up and created this body. So put it from whatever. Before you dropped into this body, you were coming here for a reason. And that reason I'm going to teach you is one of the reasons we need to ride our dragons. So we drop down into these containers and we come to belong to this place that I'm calling Earth School. And that's this humanity, this life that we're living here. So on Earth School, what's the reason for it? Why would there be an Earth School? Why would we come here? What's the purpose of this? So I'm going to tell you a little joke. Let's say God created Earth School, and he said to all the souls in heaven, I've got a great place for you to go to learn lessons, to evolve, because here in heaven it's perfect love, and how do you evolve when everything's wonderful and perfect? So I've created this great place for you to go. It's called Earth School, so go on down there and have a good time. So all the souls in heaven come down to Earth, and they squeak it out about a weekend. And then they say, I don't think so. No way. They go back to heaven, and God says, no, you're supposed to stay a long time. You're supposed to learn lessons. Like, stay, go, you can do this. Sends them down to Earth School, and they make it about a month, and they go back to heaven and go, oh, no way. I can't do that. No, we'd rather be here. And God goes, no, you're supposed to stay 70, 80, 90 years. Go down there and learn lessons. So he sends everybody back to Earth School, wipes out our memory of heaven, and we all stay. So the purpose of that is that Earth School is not an accident. Earth School is somewhere we are supposed to go to learn our lessons. We have to have adversity We have to have challenges. We've got to have dragons to ride in order to grow and change and evolve here on Earth. So what is the purpose of our school if we're supposed to grow and change and evolve? There's one purpose and one purpose alone to be here on Earth, and that's to learn how to love. Think about that. It's very simple. We're here to learn how to love. So who are we supposed to learn how to love? Well, there's ourselves. We need to learn how to love ourselves. And I tell you, in my 30 years of my therapy practice, people aren't real great at that. That's why it's chapter 9 in my book, Loving Yourself. The other person, the other thing we're supposed to learn how to love is others, other people. And I'm not talking about absolutely every single soul on this earth, although those that can do that are beautiful. I'm talking about letting others in. The other show that I did a few weeks ago on learning how to trust is about that. How do you learn to really trust to let people in to love others? You can listen to that podcast about trust. But we're supposed to learn to love ourselves and others. And the third thing we're supposed to learn how to love is that place we came from. My word for that is God. How do you love God? How do you love that place you came from? Put it into any religious framework you want. I'm truly open to anybody believing what they need to believe for their spirituality. And how do you love that place you came from? So here on Earth, we are constantly faced with challenges and lessons and adversity that makes us take a look at, how do I love myself when I've made a mistake, when I've done things wrong, when I feel shame or guilt? How do I love others when they've betrayed me, when they've done things that make me not trust them, or they've hurt me and I just don't want to put myself out there anymore? And then how do I love that place I come from when I'm confused? Who is God? What does God mean to me? What is my spirituality? Do I feel forsaken? Was I raised with beautiful spiritual beliefs and then at some point my life got so difficult that I feel betrayed and forsaken by God? So those lessons of how we evolve and how we tend to look at loving ourselves, loving others, and loving God is really important, because here on Earth, as we are doing this journey and dealing with adversity, we get really wrapped up in fear. And I've always seen that as my job as a psychotherapist is to help people deal with their fear and to unburden themselves so that they can be more clear, more available to themselves, to the people around them, to learn how to love. Fear gets in the way of that. Those fears are what you need to face. And facing them, I call riding the dragon. So what I'm going to teach you here today in this show is that's the whole Earth School thing is, why should we ride a dragon? Because we're here to evolve. We're here to deal with our adversities. And then how do you do that? How do you face your fears without crumbling? How do you face your fears without resentment and anger? How do you embrace it like you're trying to ride something that you've never ridden before, like a dragon? It's really not that hard. And sometimes it's scary. It is. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share some dragon riding stories with you so that you can maybe relate to a couple of them and see some of your dragons a little differently. So when we come back after a break, I'm going to share some dragon riding stories with you. And then after that, I'm going to give you some very specific coping skills for learning how to take risks and learning how to make change, because that's how you saddle up your dragon and start to ride. You say, I can do this. So we're talking about facing your fears, embracing our school like it was purposeful, like you decided to be here. You at the very least agreed, okay, fine, I'll go, I'll learn my lessons, I'll grow, I'll change, I'll evolve. And it doesn't really matter when you do that. I mean, I love getting kids in therapy before they start really messing up their lives. But it doesn't matter if you're 50 or 60 or 80 or 90. Learning how to love yourself, love others, and love that place you come from, that you came from, before you embodying into this container that you're sitting in. It's now. The time is now. So today, learn how to ride your dragons. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to hear a couple of dragon riding stories.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004. but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
KCNR rolls into 2019 with great changes to our programming. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your town hall of the Shasta County airwaves. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, it's the hard-hitting constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, 1460 a.m. and soon on 96.5 FM. Now, more than ever, we are your locally owned, community-connected radio station.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Welcome back, everybody. You are actually listening to me playing didgeridoo. I love didge. It makes my heart sing. Very first time I heard a didgeridoo, it was all the way across the room with a friend of mine named Ash Dargon, a very famous didge player, playing it. And I said, what is that deep resonant sound? So I love playing didge. So that was me. That's cool. I didn't even know my producer was going to put that on. I'm smiling. All right. We are talking about riding the dragon and how do you face your fears. So in the first section of the show, I shared a little bit about what's the philosophical reason we should ride dragons. So listen to that if you missed it. Go back to the podcast. So now we're talking about some dragon stories. What are some of the fears that people face? And I'm going to give you some examples. Some of them are from personal friends or myself. Some of them are from clients that I've had over the years. But I'm going to give some examples of what I mean by facing your dragons, riding your dragons. One of the biggest ones over 30 years in my psychotherapy practice is people need to ride the dragon of either staying or leaving a relationship. It's scary. Sometimes staying is scary. It means you've got hard work to do. You have to face your own foibles and the things that you do wrong in the relationship. You've got to work hard. And sometimes that costs time and money, like getting into therapy. Sometimes it means you have to be willing to make changes. So when you're having trouble in your relationship, when you are unhappy, you need to stop and say, what do I need to do to ride this dragon? Do I need to leave this relationship or do I need to stay? And you make a decision. If you're going to ride the I'm going to stay dragon, then you do the things you need to do. Stop messing around and not doing it. Stop thinking you know everything or you're not willing to get help or it's all your other partner's fault. It isn't always the other person's fault. You'll have a piece in it. So the dragon you need to ride is, how do I stay in this relationship? What do I need to do? If it's something that you need to leave and you're just being very fearful of leaving, how am I going to make it financially? What's going to happen with just, you know, my kids or what's going to go on? You have to decide if you need to ride the dragon of leaving. The very beginning of my show starts out with a song that actually my daughter, Tara, wrote and produced, and she wrote the lyrics and she sings it. She has a beautiful voice. It's called We Can't Do This Forever. If you go to YouTube and type in Tara Bay and We Can't Do This Forever, it's a song about how do you let go when you thought something was going to last forever? How do you let go when you know it's something you can't do anymore? And that was a dragon that she had to ride at a point in her life to keep herself safe and to keep my granddaughter and her daughter safe. So she had to ride a pretty gnarly dragon. And it doesn't mean it was easy or that she wasn't afraid or that it didn't create a lot of heartache. But riding a dragon of leaving a relationship can be extremely difficult. So let's look at another dragon that people often ride. This is a dragon about testing yourself. It might be that you are taking a test. I see a lot of firefighters, and they have to test when they're trying to get their jobs. People in many professions have to take their licensing boards. Nurses, doctors, therapists have to take boards. And not everybody is great at test taking. So if you have test-taking anxiety, or you are smart, you do really well in your school, but when it comes time to sit down and take a test, you just really mess it up or you blank out, that becomes a dragon that you have to ride. And is it the dragon of failing the test? Yeah, but it's more a dragon about the humiliation and the embarrassment and the shame. So how do I make myself move forward and take my boards or apply for the promotion or do what I need to do that involves something that's difficult for me? You decide where you want to end up, and you figure out that's a dragon I have to ride. And even though I'm scared, I'm going to saddle up, get on that dragon, and take the reins and start riding and see if I can make myself create my vision of where I want to end up. Let's look at a dragon that many children have to ride. This is an issue that I have dealt with extensively, and that is bullying of children. I was talking to a child the other day who's 12 years old, and she gets bullied a lot at school, and she gave me permission to share this story, that sometimes she has to make herself get dressed, get up in the morning, and go to school, because school is not pleasant for her. She feels different from other kids, and kids in 6th, 7th, 8th grade can be extremely mean. They will pick on you for anything that's different about you, too tall, too short, too chubby, too skinny, anything and everything. And she shared a story with me that she was at a school dance, and she was very excited to go to the dance. She had a brand new outfit, and she was thinking it was going to be really fun. And she found out that there were some kids at the dance who were doing rock, paper, scissors. And whoever lost had to ask her to dance. So she's at the dance and she hears this, and it made her extremely sad and just took away her joy of being there at a school dance. You know, because when you're 12, 13, 14, those school dances are new and exciting. So she came home real demoralized and felt really bad. And the next day, going to school, the next Monday at school, she didn't want to go because she was humiliated and embarrassed and sad. But she saddled up. She rode the dragon. And she went to school. And she's doing her best to work with the kids that bully her at school and call her names and put her down. She's working at how do you deal with that? How do you still show up at school? How do you ride that dragon? And think about it. That's a difficult dragon for a 12-year-old to ride. It's sad. It's scary. And we need to remember that when bullying is happening, we're leaving kids with a dragon that has to be ridden. So that's another example of it. Here's another example that is interesting, and I was given permission to share. Sitting in front of somebody, and we were chatting, and he said, he just kind of nonchalantly said, yeah, I don't look in mirrors. I said, really? You don't look at mirrors? And he said, no, I don't like mirrors. And I said, how come? Because here's this, you know, good-looking guy sitting there and a successful person. And I'm thinking, why in heaven's name would he not want to look in a mirror? And he said, I don't know. I said, what do you mean you don't know? And so we were joking around back and forth about it. And he said, you know, I never have liked looking in mirrors. And even to this day, and he's in his 60s now, and he said, even to this day, I don't want to turn on the light in the bathroom and look in the mirror. I just kind of avoid it. So I was joking with him, and I said, boy, that's a dragon you need to ride. And he went, what? I said, you need to ride that dragon. If you're afraid of something, and you know you're afraid of something, then the best thing to do is say, oh, geez, I got to ride that dragon. So I challenged him to ride the dragon. I haven't heard back yet how he did it, but I'd like to see how he feels. What he said is, I'm going to go and turn on the light and stare at myself in the bathroom, and I'm going to see what it is that comes up for me. And he did share that when he was a young kid, he had severe acne, and it was very difficult for him. He felt different and ashamed and got teased and felt ugly and all the things that kids that struggle with acne feel. And he said, you know, it might have started then. And I said, and that's interesting. You still don't want to ride that dragon, and you have great skin now. And he knows he has great skin, but he still remembers how painful it was to look in a mirror as a kid. So that's a really good example of dragons that need to be ridden for old stuff that we hang on to that we don't need to do anymore. I'll share a personal story of mine, of a dragon that I had to ride. When I was a kid, my dad was an alcoholic, and I'm blessed that at age 16, when my sister and my brother and I confronted him, he stopped drinking when I was 16. So that's good. But when I was a kid, he was an alcoholic, and he was a math genius. He was an electronic engineer and just an incredible math genius. And so the only subject I really needed help in ever was math. And so I'd go to him and I'd say, I need help with this math stuff. And he'd sit down at the counter with me in the kitchen and start helping me with math, and he'd start pouring whiskey. And so he'd sit there and drink whiskey after whiskey and keep me there for like 3 hours doing a math problem. So I hated the smell of whiskey. I hated being trapped there at the counter because I couldn't get up and leave because he was teaching me derivations and things I didn't really want to know. I just wanted help with that problem. And so my dad was a good dad, and he didn't abuse me or anything, but I hated the smell of whiskey. And so later, when I had a friend who whiskey was his drink, I went, oh. And at first he said, well, I just won't ever drink whiskey around you. And I said, no, this isn't your issue. It's mine. This is my dragon to ride. I need to get over that because that's old and that's done. And my dad stopped drinking whiskey and stopped, you know, doing the things like that that were so uncomfortable for me as a kid. And I had to learn how to get over it. So I purposely made myself taste it, smell it, think about it, do that thing I call hold the dog poop, which means, you know, just look at the fear and hold it, and what is that and what it's about. So I made myself ride that dragon, and I got over that fear. And I was really proud of that because when I went to Ireland and I was in the Tullamadu and the different whiskey-making places, I was able to really enjoy smelling it, understanding how it was made, tasting it, even though it's not something I would choose. But I got to taste it and learn the differences of really fine whiskeys. And I was proud of myself that I rode that dragon and didn't limit myself from a really cool experience because I was afraid. Now, that's kind of a little dragon. Did I have to ride that dragon? No, my life would have gone on if I didn't. But when I see that there's something I'm avoiding or I'm fearful of, I automatically say to myself, do you need to ride that dragon, Patty? And I will make myself face it, go there. So let's say you're afraid of flying and you've really wanted to go back and visit somebody, but you got to get on an airplane. That's a dragon you've got to ride. Kind of literally, an airplane dragon. But you need to learn how to do that. And what are ways that you can learn to fly? I've helped lots of people in my practice get over the fear of flying. EMDR, hypnosis, Some really cool anti-anxiety techniques are really good for learning how to fly. So what I'm challenging you right now is, what are your dragons? What are the fears you need to face? Do you need to face getting in another relationship, letting go of the one you're in, face the fear of dating, the fear of getting hurt again, to have a baby or not have a baby, to be brave enough to not have a baby if you don't want one when all your friends are having kids? What are the fears you need to look at? And that's something you really have to do some self-exploration about, because you will be a better self when you know what you're afraid of and you learn how to face it and you challenge yourself. It's very empowering. So we're going to take a break in a couple minutes, or just a minute here. And when you come back, I'm going to help you learn how to take risks. And for the next couple segments of the show, I'm going to give you coping techniques for riding your dragon. So we're going to go to break.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today, or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and today we are talking about riding the dragon, facing your fears. You were just listening to the beautiful Native American flute music of Randy McGinnis. You're welcome to check out his music on his website, randymcginnis.com, YouTube, Spotify, Pandora. It's beautiful music. He's an incredible Native American award winner. Okay, so we're talking about riding the dragon, facing our fears. And what I want to teach you now is, how do you take a risk? Because when you're saddling up your dragon and you're going to ride, you are talking about risking. So get out your pen and your paper, and I want you to draw this. Turn your paper landscape sideways. And over in the left-hand corner in the center of the page, draw a box. And in that box, write safe zone. The safe zone is where there are known expectations, and it's calmer, and you don't have to create change, and you don't have to deal with fears. And you might be alone and lonely and depressed and isolated, but sometimes you stay in the safe zone because you don't want to risk getting hurt or breaking your heart or being rejected or all those things that we risk when we ride dragons. So in that safe zone, in order to take a risk, you have to step outside the safe zone. So draw an arrow off to the right and do another box. And in that box, write the word risk. When you take a risk, you have stepped outside of your safe zone, and you are willing to saddle up and ride the dragon. So what is the risk that you're taking? Are you risking going off to college? Are you risking loving that person? Are you risking leaving your relationship? Are you risking asking for a promotion? Are you risking asking for a raise? What is going on that you need to change, and you've got to step outside your safe zone to begin taking a risk? When we risk, we tend to risk two things. So draw an arrow up to the right and write the word positive, and draw an arrow down to the right and write the word negative. When we take a risk, the negative things we risk are important for us to evaluate. What's the worst that can happen? If you're going to take this risk, could you die? Could you actually lose your life? And if so, is that a risk you're willing to take? But often what we risk is not our lives. Often what we risk is time or money. Sometimes what we risk is our heart. Are we going to get a broken heart? Are we going to risk somebody rejecting us or not caring for us in a manner that makes us feel worthy or important or acceptable? So what are the things you're going to risk? Write them down. Then if you're going to risk positive things, with risk can come sorrow, but it can also come great joy. You might risk feeling loved, not being alone, having fun, expanding your horizons, meeting new people, job opportunities. You could risk all sorts of stuff if you step outside your little safe zone that's keeping you isolated. So remembering that we have to figure out what it is we want to risk and why. What's the thing that we need to face? What dragon do we need to ride? And then you step outside your safe zone and take that risk. Then you recognize what are the worst things that can happen. And you write those down. And then you say, what are some of the good things that could happen? What are the positive things that I'm risking? Then when you step outside to risk, you're going to focus on the positive, the possible joy, the love connection, the not being lonely, feeling companionship and filled. You might be risking wonderful things that can come with a relationship. And is it all going to be perfect? Most likely not. Very seldom is. But we're open to that. Okay. We'll take it if it's going to be perfect. But when we take a risk and we risk good things, every once in a while we get a little bit of the bad with it. But okay, we can handle that, especially when our expectations are not so high that we think everything's going to be perfect all the time. Now let's look at what happens if something negative happens. Let's say you are risking your heart. You have decided that you are going to get into a relationship. Somebody's interested, you're interested, and you're risking getting your heart broken. And you've listened to my podcast on trusting levels, and you know how to trust appropriately and take it slow. But let's say something does happen, and you get your heart broken. When you have risked and the negative happens, draw a little arrow all the way back to the safe zone. Because what happens is when we get hurt, we want to retreat to our safe zone where there's known expectations and we don't feel as vulnerable and we can kind of hide and be safe. And that's a really natural response. When we are hurt, we tend to pull in, whether it's physical hurt or emotional hurt, we tend to pull into ourselves. And if we're smart, we start to regroup. We take a look at what risks we took and whether we did it well, whether we did it appropriately, whether we rode the right dragon. You've got to really evaluate it. And so returning to your safe zone, if it's a time of evaluation and contemplating what happened and soul searching and maybe getting some help if you're really grief stricken and you're having trouble pulling out of it, or you're stuck and you're having trouble risking again, getting some help can let you evaluate whether you risked appropriately. So recognize that riding a dragon is not only about facing your fear, what am I afraid of, but saddling up and getting on and riding that dragon, taking a chance at being hurt, taking a chance at finding great joy. So we're breaking this down. We talked about what is a spiritual reference, what's the framework of why should we ride dragons? And the simple answer for that is because when we face our fears, when we have adversity or challenges in our life, we grow. We expand who we are. We become wiser. We become more centered. And we actually learn how to love better and deeper. And sometimes when we ride a dragon and we take a risk, it doesn't work out so well for us. And that's life. That's real. Like if you said to me, Dr. Patty, I'm going to take a risk, guarantee that I won't get hurt, I'd say, I can't. And I wouldn't do that to you, because if you get hurt, it's a gift. It's an opportunity. And you're going to retreat to your safe zone and reevaluate, and that's a good thing. We want you to reevaluate and look at the fear and did you ride the right dragon? So riding a dragon is extremely important. Learning how to love yourself, love others, love that place that you came from. My word for that is God. How do you do that, and how do you know you're doing the right thing? And the simple answer for that is you don't. You're going to do the best you can with the most information you have. Hopefully you have a support system that knows you're riding a dragon and will be there for you. Maybe pick you up if you fall off. Those are all good things. And riding dragons becomes what we need to do here on this planet to try and evolve. And that's a good thing. So we need to talk about how do you then, you're on that dragon, you're taking the risk, you're trying to make it turn out well, you're focusing on the positive and hoping that will come and setting your sights on good things happening. So when we're in the last section of the show, I'm going to give you some exact steps to take to create change in your life. And it's very concrete, and you can write it down, so make sure you have your pad and your pencil with you so that we can do that. That'll be good. Let's go back just a little bit and review the taking risks. You've figured out that here in our school, you are here to learn lessons and to face adversity. You've looked at what are the things you are afraid of, from something little tiny, like trying a new food, if you're someone who doesn't like to try new things, or flying on an airplane, or risking your heart. And then when you take that risk, you need to recognize why you stay in your safe zone. Why do you isolate or pull away or close down and don't want to risk getting hurt? And then when you risk and you've decided I'm going to take that risk, what are the worst things that can happen? What are the not so bad things that could happen but still are not positive? List those. Put them right out there. And then what are the great, wonderful things that could happen if you fell in love? If you flew on the airplane, if you changed jobs, if you left a relationship that's abusive, what are the good things that could happen? List those. When we take a risk, we have to leave the safe zone, and then we want to aim our sights toward the positive. When you are driving, riding a bicycle, walking in a direction, you will walk, ride, you will move in the direction that you are looking. So look toward the positive to move what you need to do into that direction. So when we come back, we're going to talk about how do you deal with change and what are the steps you need to take, the concrete steps, in order to create change in your life. You can write them down. They're that simple. So we're going to go to break. And we're going to come back and talk more about change and riding your dragon.
February 22nd, 1982, Joe Martino opened Orchard Nutrition Center with a simple philosophy to be able to have the choices available for a completely healthy lifestyle. And to this day, Joe and the entire Orchard Nutrition Center family have kept that promise for 37 years. Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. and once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer, announces their new design showroom at 4616 Caterpillar Road. Now with Powerhouse Solar's new design showroom, you can view your property and see your solar design on the spot so you can see what best works for you. Maybe it's a trellis-mounted system, pole-mounted systems, or roof mount. See all the options in Powerhouse Solar's design showroom at 4616 Caterpillar Road. For information, go to powerhousesolar.com or call 275-5600. Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. I'm Dr. Patricia Bay. You're listening to the beautiful music of Randy McGinnis, Native American flutist. And on this CD that he's on, beautiful guitar work of Rick Hill, keyboards, Jimmy Bryant, and mastering and producing and other instruments, including bass, Bruce Turgan of After Hours Recorders. Beautiful musicians and incredible people. So tune into some of Randy McGinnis's Native American flute music on Spotify, Pandora, and YouTube, and on his website, randymcginnis.com. So, we are talking about riding dragons, facing your fears. And I want to give you exact steps to change when you're going to ride your dragon. In the first part of the show, we learned that you need to face your dragon so that you can grow and evolve and become wiser. I shared some dragon stories with you, and then we talked about how do you take a risk. And now we're going to talk about what exactly do you do to create change. So get your paper and your pencil out, and you're going to write this down. These are the five steps to change. In order to create change in your life, the first thing you have to do is suffer. I think most of us are pretty good at that, actually. We suffer a lot. It's part of the nature of Erskine. It's not supposed to be super easy. And if anyone ever told you it was, they were lying. I'm sorry. You were lied to. Erskine is not supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be full of adversity and challenges. And sometimes with that adversity and those challenges, we suffer. So the first thing you have to do is have something that you want to change, which means you are suffering. Now, it might be as little as you need to get new tennis shoes. It might be big, like you need to leave your relationship or change your job or move or something. But you're suffering. So right now, under the word suffer or suffering, write down some of the things you are suffering with. Is it your health? Is it financial? Is it a relationship? Is it stuff with children? Is it an addiction? Drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, sex, shopping, gambling? All those things, there's lots of them, people can be addicted to. What are you suffering with? The next step, step number two, is awareness. How often have you suffered from something and you weren't aware that you were suffering? So when you become aware of something you're suffering with, then that's when you start to say, oh, gee, I got to ride that dragon. I am aware that I am suffering from poor health because I eat wrong, or I'm suffering from an addiction that's harming my relationships or my health or everything. The awareness of suffering is a profound moment for each of us. It can be scary and sad, and we can feel victimized because sometimes we feel that our suffering is induced by other people, and sometimes it is. But our awareness of our suffering is a really, really important thing for us to know. So what are the awarenesses that you have? Write those down. Then once you have made awarenesses of what it is you're suffering from, then you have decisions to make. What do I want to do? So let's say you've recently become aware that your shopping addiction is creating a lot of financial pressure for you, and it's creating pressure in your relationship. And this thing that you have of wanting to go shopping to calm down or to treat yourself or to do something fun when you work so hard all the time, or whatever logic you're using of, I work hard so I deserve it. And you've become aware that that attitude has created suffering for you financially. It's created suffering in your relationship. And your awareness is not fun because you like shopping. It's a little bit shameful and humiliating because you don't want to think that you have some kind of weird addiction. But you sat with it and you're deciding that you're suffering. Now you have decisions to make. I hear people all the time say, well, I'm going to start a diet on Monday, or I'm just going to not do that anymore. That's good. Sometimes that's a good decision. But sometimes it needs to be more complicated than that. What are my steps in a decision? Like, if I am going to start eating differently on Monday, what do I do between now and Monday? Do I clean out the pantry with all the stuff I don't want to be eating? Do I throw things away? Do I stock the cabinets with the stuff that I want to do in terms of healthier eating? You have decisions to make. It isn't as simple as just, I'll do that differently. In fact, when I see people in my office that are trying to create change in their lives, when they just start spouting off and, oh, fine, I won't do that anymore, it's not a very effective decision. And usually their awarenesses are not very evolved. And they're pretty attached to their suffering and they don't want to let it go. So this decision-making section, number three, is very, very important. It's based on the awarenesses that you have and on the suffering that you're doing. Once you've made decisions, then you have to take action. And only when you take action will you begin to create change in your life. And that's the part that I see people slipping up on a lot. They say they're going to do something, or they promise they're going to do something, or they've got the awareness that it's unhealthy and they should do something, and they've made a decision that they're going to do something, and then they stop right there. If you do not step into it, change your behaviors, take the actions that you need to take to begin to do things differently, you will not create the change. So the five steps to change: you have to suffer, you have to create awareness, you have to make decisions based on good awarenesses, then you have to step into it and take action, and then you will create change. Now let's use the example of eating. You're suffering with poor health, you feel overweight, you've got, you know, diabetes, you've got things going on, whatever, and you make those awarenesses. You make a decision to change your eating habits, and you take action. You throw things away, you stock your refrigerator and your pantries with good stuff, and you start doing it, and you begin to create change. And then you stop. You go back to how you used to eat because it's more fun and you're used to it and you don't like change. And you start gaining the weight back and you're back to suffering again. If you don't continue with the action that you're taking based on good decisions, which were based on good awarenesses about your suffering, you will not create lasting change. The action you take will help the changes stay, and you have to keep that action up. So if you are having trouble making changes in your life, first of all, you got to figure out what dragon you have to ride. You have to figure out what you're suffering from. Then sit down and do the five steps to change. Step one, suffer. Step two, awareness. Step three, decisions. Step four, take action. And step five, look for the changes and then honor and guard those changes by continuing your action. All right. Let's say you're starting to learn that, and you're figuring out, okay, there's dragons I have to ride, there's risks I need to take, I'm really evaluating the risks and seeing if they're good, healthy ones, I'm looking at my five steps to change. How do I know whether I have dragons to ride or not? One of the really cool things, I started doing this when I was, I think I was about 19. I remember the first time doing it. It's a thing I call a happiness check. And I remember I was driving to one of my college classes, and I said, Patty, are you happy? And I was like, wait a minute. It was almost like a separate person asked me that. And I thought, answer yourself. So I really sat there and thought, am I happy? Do I like how my life is going? Do I like the setup that I've got, the things I'm doing, the job, the college classes, the direction I was going? Am I happy? And ever since then, every once in a while, I stop and say, are you happy? And if the answer is no, then I better be looking at what dragons I need to ride. And I better be thinking about what changes I need to make, because I need to make them. Whether I feel like my suffering is created by somebody else being mean to me or rejecting me or hurting me or dying or whatever, I have to stop and say, what's making you unhappy and how can you change it? If I wait for the world to fix my suffering, my guess is my suffering is going to go on forever, because the world gave me the suffering for me to grow. And if I'm smart, I'll take a look at it. So doing a happiness check is simple and kind of cool and will lead you to the direction of, do I have a dragon I have to ride? Is there a fear I need to face? In my book, Therapy in a Nutshell, chapter 1 is about love and fear and the illusion of safety. It really teaches you how to recognize when you're afraid and when you're not, and what illusions of safety we do to help keep ourselves in that safe zone. In chapter 2, I talk about trusting levels, and that's how to learn to trust and how to listen to your instincts. So the lessons that are on my podcast, you can get the podcast through Anchor. And Anchor, you can do the apps, type in the Anchor app. It's free and it's safe. Or you can go to iTunes or Spotify and listen to the podcast. Go back and listen to Stand in Your Truth and Learning How to Trust and Empty Hands, How to Have Realistic Expectations. And it will help you find the skills that you need to begin to ride your dragons. So right now, stop and ask yourself, am I happy? And if the answer is no, what is it that is making you unhappy? And stop looking at other people, because the buck stops right there with you. Why are you unhappy? And what can you do to face your fears, to ride your dragons, to take appropriate risks, and to begin to make the changes in your life that will create happiness? Do you need extra help? Do you need to get into some therapy? Do you need to reach out to your support system and tell them that you're going to face a dragon, you're going to stop drinking, you're going to quit smoking, you're going to work on your shopping addiction, whatever that is? Stop and take a good hard look at yourself. So today we've talked about riding the dragon, facing your fears, taking risks, learning how to change, and learning how to be the happy, beautiful person that you've wanted to be. My name is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you've been listening to Therapy in a Nutshell. And I want to thank you for tuning in today. And I'd like to thank OsteoStrong for sponsoring my show. Thanks, Ken and Linda Burbank. So this is Therapy in a Nutshell. Let's heal the world 1 hour at a time.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional.